If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another edition of the NXT review, though it's normally on Tuesdays, but then sometimes it's on Saturdays also, occasionally, like today it's on Sundays. Kate had a function she had to attend. She was supposed to be back by tonight. By now, that's why we started late. But I don't know that she'll be back at all. But even if she is back, she didn't watch the show. So it would be mostly me cracking jokes about the great booking powers of Shawn Michaels to her with her having zero context. So if she's not back sometime in the next 10 minutes, I feel like this is going to be a really short review. Late again. You gave us a 1 minute grace period, Stala World. A one minute grace period for me and Kate. That's not nearly enough. It was it's an odd show. This heat wave show. The TNA Knockouts Championship being decided on a NXT product. Seemed like an odd decision at the time. The choice of who won, to me, seems like an odd decision. They decided to just punt on Hank and Tank. And if you told me that was going to be the plan when they won the titles, I have said, that's crazy. They're going to give them so much rope to, like, be fun and have cool matches and develop as tag champs. They would never, ever neuter their title reign with giving them zero defenses and then have them lose the title after 4 months. They would never do that. That's crazy. But they did, in fact, do that. So, yeah, it's a weird one. It is a weird one, but we'll go through the card. We'll talk about who won, and we will talk about what the decisions being made portend for the future. As always, yeah, please do get in your super chats. Don't do Humper Chats, because I don't have access to the Humper Chats. So just Super Chats would be good, because I can't. If you send in a Humper Chat, we will take your money, but I won't be able to read anything that you say, because I do not have access to the Humper Chats. I should have access to the Humper Chats. They've never given me access to the Humper Chats. So send in a Super Chat, like old Big Jim Dukers, who says, I won't claim this is a superior wrestling product, nor will I claim AEW is necessarily deficient, but I look at pay-per-view match cards and I get exhausted. 6 or 8 or 10 people in a ring every match. I want two wrestlers wrestling. Well, if you only want two wrestlers wrestling, then you only got two matches. There are only two matches on this card, a card of 6 matches. 1/3 of the matches are two wrestlers wrestling. Blake Monroe versus Jordan Grace, and also the main event, Obafemi versus Javon Evans. Everything else was many more than that. It can be rough a little bit. It can be a little too many things. too many things. We had two triple threat ladies matches tonight. One of which was to determine the next challenger for one of the women in the other triple threat, whose title that the first triple threat is a contendership for wasn't being defended. So it is kind of confusing, but Lola Vice ended up getting the pinfall on Jada Parker. The other woman in the match was Kalani Jordan. This was fine. All three women, I think, have improved. Lola probably wouldn't be my choice to get a world title match here. But why not, I guess. It just feels like, all right. You know what I mean? All right. And I don't see her winning, obviously, because I feel like that is reserved for either Blake or Jordan Grace. Although you could convince me they might do a quick reign with Lola Vice getting dethroned by Blake, moving it from the heel champ to a babyface transitional champ who then loses to Blake, the other heel. I think that's possible, but I don't think it's likely. I did enjoy the finish of the match. It was well put together and well executed by the three women. Kalani did a 450 onto Lola. And Lola caught her in a triangle. And a guillotine, something like that. Front face lock. Kalani tried to struggle out of it, but that only cinched it in deeper. So it was basically like the two of them kneeling together. And Jada Parker ran in to, I think, try and hit Lola with her hypnotic, with the running butt to the face. Lola was able to contort herself out of the way so that Kalani took the entire blow. And then Lola swooped in and got the roll up from behind. Good, she stacked her up really good. It was a really good roll up from Lola to Jada Parker. So Lola is your new number one contender for the NXT Women's World Championship. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, I thought this was a fine match. I guess I would probably of the two, because I don't think we would do Jada versus I don't think we would do Jada versus JC. But of the two, I think Lola over Kalani probably. Lola feels like she might lose. Lola losing the title match and moving right up to the main roster also feels plausible. It is interesting. There was a backstage scene with Tatum Paxley and the Culling, and they were like, don't worry, it's not your fault. At some point that we lost a match or something. There was also a match made for Izzy and Taters versus Ren Sinclair and TBD. That's going to happen on Tuesday on the next episode of NXT. I don't know who Ren Sinclair is going to find as her tag team partner. So we'll have to tune in on Tuesday to find out. Kendall is a very good possibility. If you told me it was Kendall, I would say that's very likely. But I don't know. Things don't happen all the time that are perfect. You know what I mean? So we'll have to see. The NXT Tag Team Championship match, I'm going to say I don't think it's fair that that Dark State, Dork State, Fart State, has four guys in the faction, and they all come to the ring wearing identical ring gear. And when they're in the ring and they do the announcements, then they jockey for position about who's going to actually be in the match. My question is, spoiler alert, they won. They pinned Hank and Tank. Now that they're tag champs, do they freebird the titles? That would make sense, but I want them to freebird the titles as in, we know prior to the match, at least that day, we know which two of them are defending the titles. That way, if it's Cutler James who is defending the titles, then I know not to watch because I won't enjoy the match. I don't know. They decide it's going to be Dion Lennox and Osiris Griffin, which is a fine twosome. And they end up beating Hank and Tank. Like, there's distractions from Saquon Sugars, and Cutler James grabs Tank by the ankles and pulls him into the turnbuckle. So Hank gets hit with a big doomsday. Like, Hank and Tank are great. They are the leveled up version of the old Heavy Machinery tag team. Both guys can move. Both guys are strong. Both guys have a lot of personality. They're really, really good. And I think that Dion Lennox is a really fine athlete and Osiris Griffin is very strong. But Dork State has no personality. Yelling into a camera in the parking lot is not personality. Hank and Tank got personality, and as the saying goes, personality goes a long way. I don't see any reason why you would take the titles off of Hank and Tank. Now. Like, I guess the one thing I can say that's good about this is that after 6 months, they finally did something with Dork State. They finally did something with them. But, like, at the expense of Hank and Tank, who engendered all kinds of goodwill, like, when they won the titles off of the Blurry Boys, a.k.a. Fraxium, at Santa Deliver, it felt like it was preordained. Like, it felt like these were the only two guys who could have pulled that shit off. And they did it. And it was great. They won. They ran the table in a gauntlet match to even get the match. And in the match, with like nobody could beat Fraxium. These guys did. That should mean something. But it doesn't. Because after they won the titles, you didn't do anything with them. And now they lost them to Dark State. Dork State, Fart State. You know what I mean? I don't understand why we do that. Hank and Tank going to Raw could be fine. Raw definitely needs help. But the problem is there's already too many tag teams on SmackDown. So just take a couple of those and move them over to Raw and it solves the problem. Yeah, this should really mean that Saquon goes for singles titles. This really should. I think he's excellent. I would love to see Saquon Sugars going after singles titles for sure. Okay, so Lexus King tells Ava that Miles is now blind. It is Saturday. He got sprayed with pepper spray on Tuesday. Did anybody try washing that shit out of his eyes? Why is he blind? He got pepper sprayed on Tuesday, and now he's blind on Saturday. And they expect him to still be blind on Tuesday, so a week after he got blinded by pepper spray, he's still gonna be blind. And Ava says, I should suspend you. I should fine you to Alexis King. And he says, wait a minute, you're not going to do that. And she says, no, I'm not, because Miles insists on having a match with you. Well, how is he going to have a match with me? He's already deaf, and then I blinded him, so there's no way he can have a match with me. And she says, well, it's going to be a blindfold match. We're gonna put blindfolds on both of you. And we're gonna do a we're gonna do a blind match. What if I wear a blindfold while I'm watching the match on Tuesday? Do you think Kate would mind? What if I wore a blindfold while the match was happening? And then also, what if I wore a blindfold during the review of this match? Also, what if I wore earplugs? And also, what if I duct taped my mouth shut? What if I was deaf, dumb, and blind? I have to wear the headset. I don't have any ears. Ask her without context since she didn't watch the show. That's a fantastic idea. Lola Vice is going to get her title shot at No Mercy, September 27th. What a wonderful birthday weekend it will be for me. My birthday is September 26th. Hint, hint. My birthday is September 26th. And on September 27th, while I'm on vacation, from my Airbnb, I'm going to review an NXT. I'm going to review an NXT PLE while on vacation. Because I don't run from the grind, Kate. Kate, I, unlike some people, do not run from the grind. All right. JC Jane lost the TNA Knockouts Championship on an NXT PLE. I don't think that's the right thing to do. I feel like if you're going to have the title change, it should be on a TNA thing. You know? I feel like it should. This is me. I feel like it should be on a TNA PLA if you're going to do a title change. JC Jane, of course, did not take the pin. However, this was a better match than I thought it was going to be. The fragrance held her own against Masha Slamovich and JC Jane, but it was indeed the fragrance that won the title. It was a clever ending. JC Jane hit her crazy rolling elbow thing on Masha, but got pulled out of the ring by the Ash by Elegance girls. By Tall by Elegance and Short by Elegance. There's Ash by Elegance, and then there's Tall by Elegance and Short by Elegance. Can you tell I don't watch TNA? So Tall by Elegance and Short by Elegance grabbed JC Jane's ankles while she was, it's a triple threat, so it's legal. And they pulled her out of the ring so she couldn't make the tag. And then Ash by Elegance got on the top rope and did a swanton to Masha and pinned Masha. And now the Elegances, they are all the titles. Ash by Elegance is the women's knockouts champion. And the other ones, tall and small by Elegance, they're the tag team champions. So they hold all the belts in they have all the gold in TNA. There's some drama because JC is blaming Horse Girl and Consonants. So JC is blaming Horse Girl and Consonants because Consonants put JC's foot on the ropes and the ref saw her do that while she was being pinned. Like, JC was getting pinned and Consonants put her foot on the rope, and then Ash came over to be like, I'm really angry. They're really angry at you for doing that. And then Consonants punched the Fragrance in the face in front of the referee, who immediately kicked them out. Kicked them out of ringside. And like 2 minutes later, JC lost. Because Tall and Small by Elegance were hanging out at ringside, getting to do whatever they wanted with no fear of reprisals. So it is a weird thing to think about that, like, Dana Brooke, who had a legendarily terrible run in NXT. Like, when they sent Dana Brooke to NXT, she was terrible. She had bad matches. The character work didn't make sense. She was having like weird tantrums that didn't feel motivated. It was constantly the absolute low light of every week on NXT was whatever the fuck Dana Brooke was trying to do. And then they released her and she got signed by TNA and she became a Fragrance, because I'm sorry, Ash by Elegance just sounds like it's a fucking perfume. I call her a Fragrance because her name sounds like it's a perfume. She became a perfume. And now she's got a faction of other perfumes, one's Tall and one's Small. And now she's the TNA Knockouts champion, which is a thing that also appears on NXT. It's weird. It's just a weird thing that happened. She's improved. She didn't improve while she was with WWE, but she has improved since she has been with TNA. Good for her. Orion Ben says, say what you will, and I have said what I willed. JC and Masha are better than this booking, and most of us have only seen the NXT part. I am happy for Ash/Dana, but I deal with reality, and so does everybody else. So does everybody else. Everybody deals with reality. Ricky Saints and Javon Evans have a backstage thing where, like, Ricky Saints says, "Hey, you know, I'm gonna."
Hello, Alex.
Hello, champ. Cowboy champ.
Yeah, I just figured I'd live up to what you apparently expect me to live like on a daily basis.
You listen, you were always free to not pay the $1,000 or not buy the puppets. But you was so desperately needed me to review Freddy Got Fingered.
It was over $1,000, just to be clear. It was $1,150 that I spent of my own money.
For two puppets. The $1 million man, Sean.
I'm here with my jewels. Oh, hey, wow, what a great cameo. My good friend Ted DiBiase has stopped by the show. This is how I live, with a cowboy hat that I definitely didn't buy for a skit to film with Shaza McKenzie, of which I would portray JBL capturing her at the Australia-America border.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I have, well, at least secured the contract to acquire personalized puppets of Alex Pawlowski and Kate.
It's the best.
They are going to be here in late October.
That's great. Happy Halloween to me.
Yes, perhaps. As I can take all this shit off now. During this
very
serious
wrestling. Where did you get all those Super Bowl rings, by the way? Those are fantastic.
These are actually, they're fantasy football rings, actually. That's all they are. One for each league I've won in.
I didn't know if you got them out of MJF's trunks.
Well, I certainly did. Yes, I did. Certainly didn't get them from the Cincinnati Bengals.
No, they
but,
did not.
And this is actually the last dollar I own now. That's what this is.
Listen. Again, I didn't force anything. You need me to review Freddy Got Fingered? That's the price that I set.
You should be flattered in many ways.
I am. I am incredibly flattered.
I mean, I took... Let's think about the history. For those of you that don't know the lore of 9 years ago, I was trying to field a team, so to speak.
Yep.
Field a team for Fightful. It was literally, it was me, Vince Russo, and Showdown Joe. That's it. And I didn't want Russo here. That upped my salary by $5,000, by the way. I agreed to an amount, and then Jimmy told me he brought on Vince, and I said, I'm going to need this much more.
See, so you know what it's like.
What it's like.
You know how to bargain with your boss, too.
But I'll tell you one thing I've never asked you to do, and it's be on a show with him.
It's true, you have not.
Even when he worked for us.
No, you never asked me to do that.
Okay,
no.
So I, of all things, see a hilarious main event review on not even, it wasn't even Cage Side Seats. It was like the fan blog of Cage Side Seats.
Right, yes.
And it was so good, I was like, I got to have this guy. Gotta have this guy. And within like a month, you were writing articles that I assigned about how an old man scouted a bear and beat him up left-handed because he was left-handed.
Yes.
It was good stuff. Like, you've always been a great reviewer.
Because the old man who beat up a bear, who outboxed a bear, said that bears can't box left-handed. They can't, they can't defend against a southpaw. Get it? A southpaw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. And you do great reviews over on Fightful Select. And that's not even me plugging Fightful Select. You do great stuff there, of course. And I mean like movie reviews. But I saw that Hot Rod review.
Mm-hmm. You guest starred on the whole Hot Rod review happened because you said to do it. And then you were on it throughout the Hot Rod review.
And that's going to happen again.
Yes,
with this
it will.
Because
yes, it
I will. Am effective. I mean, listen, I get an executive producer credit for this one.
Yes, you
buddy.
Do. Yes, you do.
I will be popping in and doing a couple ad reads. I'm going to be telling people the history of Tom Green because I realize there are a number of, like Ali Cease, for example, probably was not alive when Tom Green was a thing. Like probably does not know who Tom Green was or why it is that somebody would have given him $14 million. Although I'm pretty sure Tom Green doesn't know why somebody gave him $14 million for this.
Probably.
And I think that's the point of the movie.
Yeah.
But Alex, I am going to promote this like nothing I've ever promoted before. And
I've had people say, oh, well, there's this other thing. It's got like millions of views, this other review, like 37 minutes. I said, buddy, you ain't got nothing on what's going to be uncorked whenever we do this Freddy Got Fingered review. Because let me tell you, this bad boy is on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. So literally everybody who wants free shipping can watch this movie.
That's right.
I started to watch it again this week, and I was even more baffled. Like, upon rewatch, it's one you got to get. I got to get through in sittings. You're going to watch the whole thing in one sitting, I would imagine. But here is my approach. I have already sold $300 worth of sponsorships for this.
Nice.
Not bad. Not bad. A tad short. About 800. You're not 850 in the red.
But you got time. You got time. You can pull through.
I'm hopeful that we can generate a lot of super chats and humper chats.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Cause see, like, a lot of people don't know this. Back in the day when we were broke, we used to do our Christmas bonuses completely on super chat and humper chat.
Yes,
now I got to procure sponsors, because it's not easy to say, hey, somebody with thousands of Patreon subscribers, give us money for Christmas bonuses, you know? So I procure these bonuses personally, but like, I'm not putting any pressure on you, Alex. I'm just saying, don't fuck this up, okay?
No, of course not. No, I because if the assignment is to review Freddy Got Fingered in the same style that I reviewed Hot Rod, I'm pretty sure that's going to happen.
Oh, buddy, am I excited to hear you talk about the rules of comedy and how they relate to Freddy Got Fingered. The rules of what makes something funny.
I can't wait.
Listen, you want some fun Tom Green facts here? This movie was outright referenced in a Grammy award-winning song, Alex.
Wow.
Now, granted, it was from Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie is referenced in history as a result of that. Unbelievable. This man was married to Drew Barrymore at one point.
Indeed.
And was,
I remember that. I do remember that.
And was briefly linked to Monica Lewinsky as well. If you remember that as well. Were you a Tom Green viewer?
I was vaguely aware of him. No, I did not watch any of his show.
So you don't remember Glenn Humplick?
I do not. That name does not ring a bell.
Interesting. Did you ever watch the movie Road Trip, Alex?
No. That's not Euro Trip, right? That was one.
No.
That's a different one.
Euro Trip was solid too. It was okay. Road Trip was actually very fun. Listen, there's a Vince McMahon reference in Road Trip.
I feel like I did watch Road Trip.
Yeah.
Like right around the time it came out, but like
Sean William Scott and Breckenmeyer, Amy Smart. It was you know, it's fun.
All right.
It's fine, but Tom Green is very involved in that movie. It was a massive success, actually. Like, he was in quite a bit of stuff. Man was in Charlie's Angels. But like,
yes, I do know that.
But if you were not like involved in pop culture for 3 years, you have no clue who Tom Green was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I am very excited to subject you to this. This is the This is true like torture porn.
Yeah, this is what the thing, like, you've spent $1,100 to torture two of your employees. That's what this is.
Have you ever seen, I think it's 8mm with Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he's hunting down a guy that did a snuff film.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, there's a rich person who had commissioned the film, and it's because he can't. This is like that, maybe worse.
Uh-huh.
This might be more serious than that.
There's that great scene where they show Nicolas Cage's face while he's watching the film, but they don't show the film.
Yes.
And he's like, he's grimacing and fighting back tears, and he can't watch it. That's
Alex,
me watching.
Alex, I found a review that said this movie is the worst thing to happen in 2001.
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying,
there's something that I feel like was pretty bad, and I don't know if this quite surpasses it, but I'm going to have to be the judge, I suppose.
Luis says, how much were the puppets? The puppets collectively, assuming we ever get them.
Yes.
From Bulgaria, which, by the way, guys, here's some more lore. The person who's making these puppets lives minutes away from Maggie. Yeah. Maggie of coexisting with Robin Maggie of Bulgaria.
Yeah. Yep.
They were $1,150.
Yes.
I will say this. There was a sizable super chat that you all procured a number of weeks ago.
Yeah.
$200-$300. It was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have sold $300 worth of sponsors so far. Anybody that wants a social mention, description, and an ad read from me, of which you can repurpose for whatever you want, drop me a line. But so we chipped away at a little bit of it. We'll get some we might get our whole show demonetized, honestly.
Yeah, that's very possible. Yeah.
But we'll get some super chats. We'll work on it. And you better believe I'm going to repurpose the hell out of this. You're going to see so many reels and clips for years to come.
Years and years to come.
Years to come. I mean, listen, Allie says we're never getting those puppets. They got good Etsy reviews.
Yeah.
I feel like Etsy's got a little bit of protection on it. You know, I don't think Etsy is going to let me get out $1,100. But also, my belief is that this environment, and by I mean this environment, I mean all you people.
Yeah. The SGS is what we call them.
The SGS.
The Sour Graps Society.
The Sour Graps Society. Yeah. I believe that you guys will contribute subsequently to the longevity of said puppets.
Yes.
Like, what we're not going to do is say, it's a wild card rule and just bring in random puppets. Like, we're not going to bring in Lamb Chop and all that stuff. Like, these, a long term push for these puppets.
That's right.
We got creative plans for these puppets. Like, we're not just bringing them in just willy nilly.
No. They will make many appearances on Fightful branded shows.
Will the puppets have powers? Yeah. The puppets have already caused me to be depressed. So they've got some great powers.
Mm-hmm.
Great powers. Somebody says there should be a super chat goal that if reached, it means Kate and Alex have to watch another movie they have refused to watch. Somebody suggested Fart the movie, and I like, because it's popped up on a lot of people's like smart TVs, and I could not. What does it say? This I would never subject you to that movie.
It says you're a very kind boss.
It's the same joke. At least Freddie got fingered.
Right.
Oh, it's a lot of jokes, buddy. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of different jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You will never look at a Chrysler LeBaron in the same way, Alex.
I probably won't.
You may never
look
at
I don't know how many Chrysler LeBarons I've ever looked at, honestly.
Well, I'll tell you what. Freddie never owned one. That's what I know. Freddie has never owned.
Okay.
A Chrysler LeBaron.
Important.
That is a verifiable fact.
Yeah.
There are people quoting this movie.
I see.
My good friend Andrea, just make sure that Bulgaria isn't one of the companies that no longer ship to the U.S. as of this weekend. Sorry, she would say. look at my hooves.
Okay,
Daddy, would you like some sausage? Are you prepared for this?
That
the audio listed.
That scene I know of.
Because of the trailer, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Did you know that there's a PG version of this movie, a PG cut?
I did not know that.
It's 3 minutes long.
Ah, that's the joke.
That's the joke.
Yeah.
Does that qualify as a rule of comedy?
I don't know. But it's a good joke. It's a good joke.
It is a good joke. Listen, I'm just telling you, Alex.
Uh-huh.
I I put you through some things that I had you review over the years.
Yes, yes, it's true.
We reviewed some real bad wrestling.
We did. We did. There were some really bad ones. Yeah.
Oh, Andrea, please watch this and text me immediately. It is on Prime. Please watch this. I will literally fly to Chicago and watch it with you all at this stage. Like, that's how pumped I am. Alex, this is a big moment for me. I just hope you know that.
I do.
We are going to nail down a time. I've already got the graphics made. Like, I mean, Rob made the thumbnail.
Yeah.
I said specifically I have to be smiling on the thumbnail.
Yes.
That was direction. Because he put the one where I'm like this. I was like, no, no. I was like, I need this one.
Yeah.
I need that one.
Yeah.
The Sean Ross Sapp talks about interviewing Bret Hart type of look.
Yes. Yeah.
On his face.
Yeah.
I got you these goddamn puppets, Alex.
Yes, you did. You did.
Can't believe this is really happening.
Neither can I.
I worked myself into a shoot here.
You really did. Really, really did.
You're probably the most embarrassing thing. This is like, I have an agent. I should have just had him negotiate with. Like, at this, like, I've got the same. Me and Big E share an agent, and like, seems like he got a better deal than I did.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean. Oh, listen. Somebody says technically he doesn't have the puppets yet. We ain't waiting 3 months, buddy.
No.
This bit can't wait that long. I've sent the receipt to Kate. She knows it's real.
Yeah.
She knows it's real. I had reference photos.
Yeah.
I had to answer the question, do they want little headphones on or not? Of which I replied, yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Full body or half body. And I said, fuck it. Give me the works.
give me the works, baby.
Well, are jeans okay?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Is denim affordable in Bulgaria? Let's do it. So this is the good one. Like, I would like Jimmy to watch this movie. Mm. I want Jimmy to watch it, and then I want Jimmy to talk about it with me before you review.
Ah, that's good.
As a bit of a preview, right?
Nice, nice.
Because, and I promise, guys, I'm about to leave. This is going to be a main channel review.
Yes. Yeah. Not behind the paywall. This is
not
this
behind
is
right the paywall, buddy.
For everybody's consumption.
And hey, if you all don't want to send super chats, I do, you know, we do gift Fightful Select subscriptions. I would be completely fine if you all did that. But Alex, I just want you to know I'm very excited about this. And much of that is because of your unmatched ability at reviewing very bad things.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You have a knack to hate things.
Yeah.
In a way that nobody else can. And I find that somewhat admirable, even though I have people that will weekly on exit surveys, just put sour grapes as the reason why they canceled. I'm like, you can just scroll past. It's okay.
Nobody's forcing you to listen. I promise.
Somebody said therapy or puppets. Well, let me tell you, Alex is going to have both of those things by the time this assignment is done.
That's true. That's true.
Alex, I'm very excited. I'm very excited to schedule this.
Me too.
Hit me with some dates in September that work for you.
Yeah.
See you guys later.
All right. Bye. Bye, Sean. Puppets. We're getting puppets. We're getting puppets. All right. What a day. There we go. Removable glasses for Linda and Sheeler. Rainbow wig. Listen, if this puppet is the scale I think it's going to be, then we're going to Build-A-Bear and hitting up all of their ridiculous things that they have there. Well, I'm not too proud to buy a child size rainbow wig so I can put it on the puppet to make a puppet Ricky Rainbow. I'm not too proud. I'll do it. Glasses? That's easy. Oh, this is, we should have read this one. Spidey Boy Eli's here says Sean looks like he's about to offer Joe Burrow his next contract. That was when he was dressed up like the rich guy. And then and Spidey Boy also says, does this mean there's an alternate universe where Tom Green became WCW champion? There's an alternate universe where everything happens. I'm convinced of it. Anyway, where was I? Before we got so non-rudely interrupted. Ricky says he's coming after Ricky Saint Stark says he's coming after whoever wins the NXT World Championship tonight. Spoiler alert, he does indeed seem to be doing that. Okay, we got our Jordan Grace and Blake Monroe match. This was pretty much everything that I wanted from between the two of these women in the ring. I'd like Blake Monroe to be a little less Lady Miz and more, you know she can handle herself thing. Running around and hiding behind the announce desk is not my idea of a great time, but it was a good match, hard hitting. The end of it is well done. Jordan Grace pulling Blake Monroe out of the corner, and Blake Monroe pulls with her. Pulls with her a turnbuckle pad, the bottom turnbuckle pad, and she dropped toe holds. This is later, 2-3 minutes later in the match. She dropped toe holds Jordan Grace toward the bottom turnbuckle. Jordan Grace is able to stop herself, right? But because she's got a bad arm from stuff that's happened in the match, she's not able to fully support her own weight and has to drop her arm, so she's only holding on to one part of the turnbuckle to support herself. So then it gets a stomp in the back of her head, forehead into the turnbuckle, and then her version of the dirty deeds DDT, and Blake Monroe pins Jordan Grace. So I don't know what this does for Jordan Grace going forward. I think we all kind of figured Blake Monroe was winning this match. Does Jordan Grace go to the main roster? Is this over? It's not over. I don't think it's over between Jordan Grace and Blake Monroe, but it probably should be. I just think it probably should be. But anyway. Yeah. No, Kate will not be on the show tonight. I mean, it's late enough in the evening that it doesn't really matter, but Jada Parker is upset that she lost to a roll-up in the back. And Lash Legend comes in and talks crap to Jada Parker. So they start fighting in the trainer's room and they have to be separated. I like that Jada Parker is like, I know you're not coming in here acting like you didn't get squashed by Nia Jax on Tuesday. And I appreciate that Jada Parker is calling out the bad creative. So they're going to fight each other, even though there's no title matches on the line. So anyway. So Sarah Schreiber wants to interview JC Jane, but she won't let her because she wants to yell at Jasmine Nix. Consonants. Then Lola Vice is like, hi, I'm your next challenger. And then here come Sol Ruka and Zarya to talk some trash to old JC Jane about this is where this happened. Yeah, this happened in the order I'm saying it, but it probably should have happened in the reverse order. Sol Ruka says, look who's now the only double champ in NXT. And I was like, yeah, but it's the speed title. That thing's defunct. There's no way anybody's ever going to let you defend that ever again. And then in a subsequent backstage segment, Ava calls in Sol Ruka and Zarya and says, I have now acquired the legacy. That's not the word where I want to say. She's now acquired the lineage or whatever of the Speed title. So now the Speed title. Let's see here. The Speed title. Hold on. Ryan Chikini says, unironically think the Speed title fix NXT. I do too. You know why? Because so many of their matches are sub 5 minutes anyway. Why not attach some stakes to those matches? Sol Ruka is the Speed champion. And she's going to defend the Speed title on NXT. Her first ever Speed title defense in NXT is going to happen at No Mercy in a month. So she's going to defend that there, but not the... See, I feel like you could just defend the Speed title on a random episode of NXT and defend the North American title, unquestionably the most important title that she owns, on the PLE. But that's not how they're doing things. She asks, who is going to be my champ, my number one contender? And Ava says, well, I'm going to do a fatal four-way now. And the fatal winner of that fatal four-way is going to face you. She says, one woman from Raw, one from NXT, one from SmackDown, and one from Evolve? She just, man, hold on. What does she say? She says, I don't know. I know AAA is one of them. I think Evolve, maybe Raw, maybe NXT, maybe SmackDown. AAA is definitely one of them. One of the four women. The only way they know how to do things is to do a fatal four-way, and the winner of that gets a Speed title shot at No Mercy. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, TNA, AAA. So it's five. It's a fatal five-way. I'm sorry, I was wrong. A fatal five-way, and then the winner of that gets the title shot. No Evolve. Why would Evolve be involved in something like that? That's silly. That's dumb. One Raw or SmackDown. One Raw or SmackDown. Why is it one Raw or SmackDown? Do they fight each other? Are we doing a thing where there's a tournament on Raw and a tournament on SmackDown, and the winner of each of those tournaments fight each other, and the winner of that match has to be involved in the Fatal 4-Way, and the winner of that match gets to lose to Sol Ruka in less than 3 minutes? What are we doing? I don't know why does one from Raw or SmackDown make me so angry? I don't know why that makes me so angry, but it does. Anyway, Sol Ruka is going to defend the Speed. Here's the deal. The male Speed champion is Chad Gable / the racist mask. Like El Grande Americano, the original version, that guy, Chad Gable, the original Chad Gable, horrible, disgusting gimmick thing. That is the original, that is the current and male Speed champion. So is the new male Speed champion just fucking... is this Ludwig Kaiser? Is it just Ludwig Kaiser now? Like, the idea that we're just going to have all the white guys who are not good enough in Triple H's mind to be their own characters? That we're all going to have all of them wear masks pretending to be Mexicans and then fight each other? And the winner of that gets to be the new speed champion? That doesn't make a lot of sense. Anyway. So Chelsea Green and Ethan Page win this. Listen, the only reason to do this ridiculous, dumb match between Chelsea Green and Ethan Page and Tavion Heights and Tyra May Steele is so that Tavion Heights pins Ethan Page and gets a North American title shot out of it. That's the only reason to do the match, period. I mean, I don't like that, but at least it's a way of achieving something. Of all of the different combinations of who pins whom, Chelsea Green pinning Tyra May Steele does not fucking make any sense for it. It doesn't make any fucking sense whatsoever. I don't fucking get it. I don't get it. I don't know why you have Chelsea Green, who's a SmackDown wrestler who also all the time appears on Raw, why she pins Tyra May Steele. Like, Alba Fire got in the ring and hit her with a super kick while the ref's back was turned. So it protected her, at least, kind of. But then Chelsea Green hits the unpretty her and pins her. That doesn't make any sense to me. Tyra May Steele's great. She proved it. She was excellent in this match. At one point, she did a German suplex to Ethan Page, and at that point, somehow, Ethan Page had gotten Alba Fire on his shoulders, kind of. So she German suplexed two people. I don't know. I don't know. She's great. Why is she losing to Chelsea Green? Chelsea Green's in the middle of doing other shit on SmackDown. This is a thing that I was pissed off about last year when Pete Dunne was doing major storylines on both shows for no reason. You don't have a deep enough roster to figure out how they could use these people differently? Because I think you do. I think you've got a deep enough roster that Chelsea Green doesn't have to be your only... She's great. I love Chelsea Green. Nobody should be the only mid-card women's heel. The only one!
Just dumb.
Yeah, no, the crowd not liking them, I don't understand. It's NXT crowds are weird, especially when they go on the road. I don't know. I don't understand why they didn't like her. That didn't make any sense. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. But Tyra May Steele lost to Chelsea Green, which doesn't progress the Ethan Page and Tavion Heights story at all. It doesn't. It doesn't progress the Tavion Heights and Ethan Page story, so we're just moving on. We're just moving on, I guess. But so will we. We will also move on. Josh Briggs tells Obafemi that he's coming for the title. But then he doesn't come for the title. We know from Tuesday that he's going to get into it with Ricky Starks. So I guess this coming Tuesday, Obafemi will cut a promo, Ricky Starks will come out, and then Josh Briggs will come out, and then Obafemi will be like, you two fight each other, and the winner of that will face me, and then we'll get there. That's how we're going to do that. So, the NXT championship match was the highlight of the night because Obafemi he's maybe the greatest. He's the greatest big man to come through NXT. Not a signing from the indies, but like the big man comes from basically no place and goes through NXT. He's the greatest big man to ever do that. He's probably the best, like the most athletic, most fun to watch for me, big man that they've got under contract to WWE. He's one of the best big men, like for how few matches he's still actually had, how such a short time he's actually been wrestling. He's so good at this. And he sold his ass off for really, 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 really good stuff from Javon Evans, who's a freak of nature. Javon Evans is a freak of nature. If this is the beginning of the booking that I called for a year ago, where Javon Evans gets his first shot against Obafemi, comes really close, but and eventually gets put down. Maybe he gets another shot and he gets even closer, but Obafemi still beats him. And then months later, he finally gets his last shot. And Obafemi says, if I beat you this time, no more matches for you. And then Javon Evans actually beats him. If it's that, then this is the beginning of one of the better storylines that modern era NXT has ever produced. He's such a, just watch him react to his opponent kicking out at 2.5. Because you know it's a WWE, especially an NXT match, that's going to happen a dozen times in a match of this length. When it does, he has a different reaction to it every time. He's so fantastic at finding different ways of telling the story that he's involved in. I'm amazed by him all the time. There's a weird spot near the end of this match where I think Javon Evans trying to do a push off into a frog splash, like his left leg slipped, and so he didn't actually get all the way there and actually landed on his feet first. And then flopped, kind of belly flopped onto Oba and was selling the leg. And then he got up and did it again, but this time it worked. And then he was doing a bunch of stuff. But then at one point, man, Obafemi like hit him with an uppercut out of midair that looked like it murdered him. These guys are so perfect for each other. One dude who's incredibly strong and way faster than he should be, and another guy who's just ping-ponging all over the ring. And they're both brilliant athletes and really seem to get it. This could be a really fantastic rivalry for years to come. If both of them stay healthy, they're both so young, both of them stay healthy, both of them stay under contract, there's no reason why this shouldn't be, I mean, the reason why it won't be a future WrestleMania main event, I think we all know what the reason it won't be a future WrestleMania main event is, but there's no reason why it shouldn't be a future WrestleMania main event. He's so good. Volob says, hey, it's cool. Oba has gotten better. He didn't get gassed 10 minutes in and worked fantastic for the whole nearly 18 minutes. He's really, really good. He's really good. He's really, really good. They're really, really excellent together. At one point, there's a ref bump. So Oba goes to the sitting on the top rope and Javon goes up there. And then Ova shoves Javon with one arm, shoves him 10 feet across the ring. And Javon hits the referee. It was entirely inadvertent, but he knocks the referee out of the match. Then Javon goes back up to the top rope, hits a Hurricanrana on him, And then hits a couple of big cutters or whatever, and he's gonna pin him. But there's a second referee who had to have been sitting at ringside. That's how fast he got down there. The second referee jumps in and calls the 1, 2, 3. But after the 2 count, Oba put his foot on the bottom rope. And the first referee stands up and goes, hey, his foot's on the rope. And the second referee says, yeah, you know what? You're right. My bad. The guy's foot was on the rope. And then they pick the match back up. And then Oba ends up doing his shot put yeet thing that he just shoves the guy. But he does that to Javon through the damn announce table, picks him up, rolls him back into the ring, does the giant fall from grace power bomb. And he pins him. It's a really, really good match. The ref bump was entirely unnecessary. The second ref running down to the ring to like call the 3 while the guy's foot was on the rope. So it's not like it was like, oh, well, you know, the ref bump saved Oba. No, Oba saved Oba. Oba saved Oba by putting his foot on the rope. That was all very weird. That toss was insane. Javon Evans, don't die going through the announce table challenge. And then after he wins this match, out comes Ricky Saints to stand in the ring and look at him and says, I'm coming for that. And Oba says, you're just another victim. So this was excellent. It was excellent. Ryan Cicchini says, talk about this. Love my fellow Canadians. I'd be tempted to see them on the main roster. Despite the boos, they shouldn't flinch. Put the North American title on Tavion. I don't understand. Like, the boos in Lowell, Massachusetts, I don't understand why we're booing Tavion in Lowell, Massachusetts. I don't know where he's from, that we don't like him in Lowell, Massachusetts. He doesn't get booed at the Performance Center, and that's where you tape most of your fucking shows. So I don't know why that would change anything, really. All right, guys. Thank you very much for being here for this. I know it was a little late, but it gave me some time after the Forbidden Door review to actually watch the show. Sorry, Kate couldn't be here, but she had a prior engagement. We will see you all on Tuesday. The SRS run-in was a legendary run-in. Guys, we're getting puppets. We're getting puppets, and so not everything sucks. Keep cool, Gabagools. See you on Tuesday. If you will.